With Live and Up Promo, you can print all the things to promote your event. Banners, signs, apparel, anything you can think of. Go to liveinuppromo.com to get started today.
Welcome to Breaking Bread. I'm Terry Page. Summer is finally here, and Breaking Bread wants to know, how do you spend your summer? Are you hitting the beach, dusting off the mountain bike, or traveling the world? Perhaps you were posting your summertime days on TikTok. If so, you may be interested to know hackers are using TikTok videos to do bad things. The malware, known as Lactodectus, has joined forces with the widely used social engineering technique called ClickFix as a distribution vector. You might be going, Lactodectus? ClickFix? Yeah, I know, right? This is why we have Pinterest contractor and DFIR consultant Shadow with us today. Shadow, welcome to Breaking Bread.
Thanks so much.
Okay, in layman's terms, what is viral malware and what does all this mean and why should TikTok users care?
So what this is a whole bunch of different threat actors posting TikTok videos that have these click fixes in them, right? We call them click fixes because they're giving you some kind of pretext, some kind of fake story that basically says, hey, this, if you do this on your computer, it will fix your Spotify, right? And people will say, oh, okay, cool. I'll click these buttons. I'll type these things into my computer. And it does nothing for your Spotify. It actually attacks your computer. It puts malware on your machine or calls out and allows attackers to be able to either control your machine or allows them to read certain information from it. From there, they are going to deploy more malware to either steal your information or your identity.
Now, this has been going on a while because I remember even in the early days of the internet, you would get these advertisements, hey, we could take care of your malware attack for you. And then, yeah, you'll go ahead and download it, and guess what? It does just what you just said.
That's because this is a long-running common thing. Because the truth is, there are so many different ways to secure a computer, right? I mean, you can look at making sure you log any kind of login attempts. You can, you know, have as complicated of a password that you'd like to have. You can have so many different kind of anti-malware executables and, you know, whatever you want to have, Malwarebytes, Sentinel-1. But one vulnerability that will always be in computers is the user. And it will always be there. So attackers are always going to try to find a way. And like you said before, it was a whole bunch of different people saying, oh, we'll take the malware off of your machine. And now it's TikTok videos. It's still the same vulnerability, though, because it can never be patched.
And since you have, you know, millions of users using TikTok, you can do a lot of damage.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. So let's say, I don't know, 100 million people see your video or something like that. Well, if you even get a 10% rate of people doing what you say, well, congratulations. You still have 10 million victims. So
once you have it, what do you do?
Once you've been attacked?
Yeah.
Well, first off, just to be sure, if you see someone telling you on TikTok or any social media to do certain things on your machine, probably meet it with a bit of a distrust. If you already have done it, I'd recommend that you would go and first try to get a trusted and recognized anti-malware executable. Something like I mentioned earlier, Malwarebytes should be good. Let's see, if you have Norton, works okay. There are plenty of different things that you can install. If you cannot install or you can't use your machine, or if you're just unsure if it's still on there, taking it to a computer repair shop would be a pretty good idea and explaining it to them. And of course, once again, someone that is trusted and things like that. But if you've already run it, you definitely want to make sure that you have some kind of watchdog on your machine and someone who's able to remove the problem. If you also notice anything weird in your bank accounts or something with your identity, you're going to go ahead and need to take further steps, such as making sure you change over debit cards or anything, or passwords, or anything that they could have taken.
Yeah, well, you know, it's really scary right now in the dark web on those forums, those chats. They're saying right now that the next wave is already taking shape.
The next wave of?
Of attacks. Of updates are taking place. So to your point, you could do things to circumvent it, but yet they're already coming with other ways to bypass that. And it's funny you should mention the banks and everything, because Wells Fargo just came up with a new policy that when you transfer money from your account, like your personal bank account, or even to other accounts, they're going to do it under more scrutiny, and it may not be as quick to transfer as it has been in the past. Mm. So users, if you haven't already, if you're a Wells Fargo customer, you may notice, hey, I transferred that money this morning. Like, why is it not there? Well, that's why, because they're trying to make sure that they investigate that transfer before making it go through. And I would imagine that's based on what you just said.
Yeah, security is always, always, always going to fight with usability. The truth is, if you want to inspect, let's say, a little piece of information going over the network, going over the wire, what we call a packet, for example, once you add security to it and you actually verify who's sending it and who it's supposed to go to and what was supposed to be in it and, you know, make sure all your checksums are right and all this kind of stuff, that inherently slows it down. I mean, imagine if there were no airport security, then anyone could just show up at the airport right before your flight and get to your gate very quickly. It'd be pretty simple until you have a threat actor who wants to do something malicious. Enter airport security. It's the longest part of being at the airport. But
tell me about it.
It's the reason why it's safe and secure, or at least our best attempt to. So for that reason, security is always going to slow things down. And the thing is, you have to think of the cost-benefit analysis of, okay, is the time that we're spending on basically waiting on whether this packet to go through the network, this person to get to their gate, or in Wells Fargo's case, the money to transfer to another account, is that time that we're spending valuable enough versus the alternative of if we didn't check?
Let me see if I can remember the saying, those who give up security for safety have neither. Let's talk about that for a second, because right now we're talking about protection. And essentially what you're saying is, really, if you got rid of the bad actors, let's say they all disappeared tomorrow, You would get to your plane a lot faster as a passenger, right?
True.
And in the Wells Fargo example, your money would be transferred a lot quicker.
True.
You wouldn't need passwords.
Yeah, right? You wouldn't.
Right, because you wouldn't have those people. Now, passwords, you and I have had this conversation multiple times when you've been on the show, because that's essentially how people protect their accounts, with passwords, right?
Yep.
Now, you've got 19 billion, that's billion with the B, passwords have leaked online. Okay. Now, of course, that's an issue because items end up on the dark web and we don't want those there. So between April 2024 and April 25, we've got 200 separate cybersecurity incidents that we know of anyway, that are being affected. The crazy part about it is people are still using simple passwords. Now, according to Cyber News, they've come up with four different ways to protect yourself. So, Shadow, if you can help me help others and stop getting their passwords compromised, hence getting their accounts compromise. And one item that they did mention, you and I have mentioned this before, is that enabling that two-factor authentication. I hate it. It slows down. As a matter of fact, I've noticed pretty much 100% of the sites I visit and my accounts now have this two-factor authentication. Based on the last time we spoke, that wasn't the case. But now I've noticed this. So that seems to be going in that direction. How does that help people with their account by having that in place?
So two-factor authentication or multi-factor authentication works like this at a basic level. First off, well, let's think of the old way, right? You have the user and then you have the the server, right? The user says, hey, I'd like to provide this little secret that only I know to prove I am who I say I am. Of course, that secret is pretty much the password, right? That's the old way of how we used to do things. Once that secret is proven, then they say, okay, sweet, you have your secret thing. We will then allow you into the walled garden. Cool. The problem is, if somebody else knows that secret, they can then pretend to be you, right? And they can access things as you. Now, with multi-factor authentication or two-factor authentication, it's quite literally adding a second secret, right? It is saying, hey, I have this secret. And it says, okay, sweet. You got through the first rung. You got through the first challenge. Can you give me a second secret? And you, as the two-factor authentication user, there are a whole bunch of different ways to do two-factor, right? You can have things that basically go off of heuristics that say, hey, is this your phone? And you'll see things that check the user agent to check if it's actually your phone. You'll have things that go off of maybe location-based, or, you know, a lot more simple of a token from a two-factor authentication app, possibly TOTP, and of course, regular old SMS or SMS, which is definitely not secure as 2FA. We've seen with a whole bunch of different SS7 network level attacks. Basically, you can steal someone's phone number and pretend to be them, and it kind of blows all of that out of the water. But
I was just going to bring that up. I've had people who don't have access to their phone or lost their phone,
right?
And then they call in trying to get in their account, like, oh, we'll send the password to your phone,
yep,
or your digital code to your phone. I don't have my phone. Is there something else we could do? And they're like, well, no, not really.
Right, exactly. Because that's the thing about this kind of security. If it's going to be secure, you need to make sure you have your access token, whether it's a hardware access token, whether your phone is your access token, or whatever it may be, or many companies have switched to one-time passwords in the email. I feel like we're mostly all familiar with this now, right? Especially in the U.S. We don't have anything like GDPR, which would probably push those kinds of security standards higher, but...
GDPR stands for?
This is the European... I will just say off the top of my head, I'm not exactly sure. I believe it's the Global Data Protection... Not sure what the R is for, but basically this is a large set of rules that Europe has put in place to make sure that the privacy and security of any given user for companies residing in anywhere in Europe are actually private and secure. And they have very, very strict rules that basically tell companies, you need to make sure that you treat people with dignity, as the European Union did make a decree that privacy is a universal basic human right.
I appreciate that.
I believe it's relations, global data, privacy relations or something like that.
Well, the crazy part about it is the U.S., we seem to go in the opposite direction. It's like, you have no privacy, we don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And hence, when things are released online and items are stolen, people should be surprised. But right. You know, all your information's out there.
Yes, and I did look it up. It's the General Data Protection Regulation Act. There we are. Okay.
There you go.
But still, it's very strict regulations that things like this, they are absolutely required and mandated. In fact, something as small as if you want a company to delete your data, you can send them an email and basically say, hey, please remove all of my data, and they are literally forced by law to actually remove that data. Whereas,
wouldn't that be nice?
Yes, whereas companies in other countries and honestly other continents, such as, you know, your Africa, your South America, your North America, Asia, they don't have anything like that. They can hold on to it. They can hold on to it. They can sell it. They can do whatever.
And profit off your personal.
Exactly. So, yeah, and I know that we kind of switched over to privacy
at
here.
At least let me profit from my own information.
I know. A while ago, I saw this meme, and it said, why are all these companies profiting off of selling everyone's data and stuff like that? They said, I want to make money off of selling people's data. And so they said, I have my friends' phone numbers. Somebody pay me. I'll give you my friends'
right.
phone numbers.
Exactly.
My family, too. And they said, pay me how you're paying these data brokers. And I'll give you everyone's contact information. Yeah, pretty funny.
Well, sadly, we put a lot of information out on social media for free.
Yep.
So why pay for it and you can get it for free?
Right, exactly. But I know we switch over to privacy, but still, the GDPR does cover a good bit of security and basically put it on the companies to make sure that they implement these kinds of things at their level. So that's why, you know, it made me think of GDPR. Because, again, we kind of rely on the companies to do this kind of stuff, if you think about
it. Okay.
Think about it, right?
Go wrong with that?
Think of it this way. If you're using some kind of service that you like and you really, really care about your security and they only have passwords, right, and that's your only way of authentication, you need to make sure you set a great password. And even if you do set a great password, that company gets breached, that's it, right? My point is, if they don't offer a multi-factor authentication setup, if they don't offer that as a way for you to log in and authenticate yourself, then there's no way for you to really build that in unless you...
Correct. And as I mentioned, more companies are now doing it. And as far as that two-step authentication, yes, that does help when people do that. Now, the problem is people like to use the same password for multiple accounts. Hackers love that because then... there's a breach in the past, Home Depot, for example.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like, oh, good. That's the password that he used for Home Depot. And let's see if they use it for the bank account. Oh, they did. Oh, yeah. This is great.
Oh, yeah. Trade secrets right there from a pen test contractor. It is. I can search password dumps too, guys. So if you are being audited, please don't. Don't let me find that. But, yeah, it's just...
And to reiterate, we are speaking with Pinterest contractor and DFIR consultant, Shadow.
Yeah.
Shadow, Cyber News did come up with some other items. Here's number two. They say, use strong antivirus software and be cautious with downloads and links.
Hey, that's the thing I said earlier. But, yes, use known well-signatured antivirus software. It does help in a pinch. And, of course, don't click on sketchy links, but come on.
Unless you're phishing emails, that's a big thing. Oh, especially yeah. If you're at work and you click on it and the employer doesn't like that very well. They do send those tests out, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah, just saying.
The tests are getting more sophisticated, though. I'm proud of them.
Yeah. Before they were just like, okay, this is clearly a phishing exercise, but they do need to get more diligent because a lot of times when companies are breached, sometimes an employee clicked on something and they're in, and exactly. There you go.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's another thing too with passwords, by the way. Stop calling them passwords. They are passphrases. If you think of them that way, then it does encourage people to make longer passphrases and things like that of, well, multiple words. I think I've said it on here before.
You have.
Mm-hmm. But even pushing towards that kind of idea does make it less guessable, right? Once again, though, if the company themselves is insecure and your passphrase is posted online, then there's nothing you can do about that. You just have to change your passphrase.
Yeah, it was posted online. That ship has sailed.
Right, exactly. Because you can make the most big, beautiful passphrase you want in the world, it'll be amazing. But if the company that's holding it decides not to hash their passwords, not to hash, not to salt, not to pepper, not anything, no seasoning on their passwords, they just keep them all in plain text in one big Excel file, and you'd be shocked. Then there's nothing you can do, right? You can
have this. We're talking some major corporation. I won't say the name, but there's some major corporations who do just that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they'll at least use a database, but still.
Don't worry. It'll be hitting the news, and we'll be talking about it on the show.
Right,
exactly. That way I can avoid being sued.
Right. So that's the whole thing of it. You can make an amazing password, but if the company themselves is insecure, you're just going to have to change it again.
Yes, please. And you should change your passwords often anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't.
Using a password manager is a great idea too. You know, I don't want to accidentally sponsor anybody, but there are some really good password managers. Truthfully, some of them bundle with VPNs and stuff like that. But yeah, there's some pretty strong ones out there.
You're actually kind of getting to number four here, but number three, keep software updated. What will that do?
Keeping software updated. So the truth is, as far as software updates, many updates, you know, a lot of people think of them for features and stuff like that, especially iPhone users. They will do anything for features and their updates and stuff like that. But truthfully, many updates are actually security patches in which security researchers like me and, you know, pen testers or even just any kind of security consultant is going to find a vulnerability, or maybe it's being exploited out in the wild by bad actors, and we go and make a fix, we being, you know, the security community. Once that fix is in the rest of the code, we need to push that as an update, right? But the thing is, if you see security updates as a user, you may think, okay, well, I'm not updating, you know, my Netflix app or my cell phone. I'm not taking the time to restart my laptop or anything like that. But those security fixes basically allow us to get beyond whatever current challenge we're facing.
Absolutely. Now, what iPhone does, if you are stubborn like me, like, oh, I don't feel like doing it, they're like, okay. Well, after a while, they won't let you use stuff on your phone.
And that's amazing, honestly. That's how it should be. Because if you stay up to date on security patches and security releases, you're a lot less vulnerable to any attack, honestly. You're a lot less vulnerable to known attacks. Every once in a while, things do slip through the crack. But to be honest, if you do regular security patches, you're probably in a pretty good spot as far as your security posture.
Yes, and you website owners can certainly relate to that, as just being said. Finally, number four, consider a personal data removal service.
You know, I've been hearing a lot about these. I still need to do more research, but I know that there are some data removal services. And in case you're not familiar with what these are, for the listeners, basically, there have been a couple companies that have come to light in the last couple of years that have basically said, hey, all of your data's out there, and you're getting robocalls, and you're getting your passwords dumped online, and you're all over the dark web. What we will do is we will contact these companies for you, and we will, you know, go to the dark web, and we will scrape all this, find it, and then delete it for you, right? And they will say, yes, we will delete your stuff from the internet and all this, and then apparently you're supposed to see less robocalls, you're supposed to see less spam, you're supposed to see all that kind of stuff. I have seen a little bit of
your UPS packages here, or
oh man, those are fun.
You owe a toll.
Oh yeah, some of those. Yeah. Right. According to those services, you will see less of that kind of stuff because you're not in the database. I have heard mixed things on those. I feel like I'm not yet educated enough on those kinds of services, but I've seen some controversy in those communities, in those fields, where some people, they're like, well, this takes too long, right? Because it can take a while for a company to even get to a request like that, to be realistic, right? And then, well, even if they do get to it, okay, well, then it's like, well, we need to go find what's associated with you. And many people have multiple email addresses, maybe 4 email addresses, maybe 15, right? And things like that. And then another thing too is that it can be sticky because you put certain information out there about yourself, but then your family put information out there about you, or your friends put information there about you.
Yeah, that's the big one.
They can't delete that, right? Yeah. They can only delete the stuff that you yourself could log in and control.
Think Facebook.
Well, Facebook is only a topical example, right. But yes.
For example.
Right, exactly. So if you're tagged in a post on Facebook and maybe you do want to get rid of that or something like that, it gets sticky. It gets more difficult and stuff like that. And then lastly, there have been some claims against these kinds of companies, and again, I need to read more on this, but there have been claims against these kind of companies as far as what they do with the data they find and what they do with you, right, when they're done.
Well, what if the company goes out of business? We just had that example not too long ago.
Right.
What happens with that data? What are they legally obligated to do?
Yeah, and that whole thing, I don't know, in theory, it sounds really, really good. I just personally, I don't feel like I know enough just yet to see what those companies are really, really doing. But I don't know. It sounds pretty good. I will just say the best way to do it is to not put that data out there in the first place. But
Well, the theory is the less data you have out there, the less cybersecurity, cyber criminals rather have to work with.
Yeah, that is true. That is the theory, and it's been proven over and over again. So
yeah, it reduces the risk of scammers, and they'll go on someone who does have more information out there and just go from there. Mm-hmm. So look, you mentioned earlier, cyber criminals are getting smarter. They're getting faster. They're getting more savvy. So we have to make sure that we stay 2, 3, 4 steps ahead of them, because they just sit around all day and just figure out ways to get your information and use it to their benefit. Mm-hmm. So the advice you gave, it's really good. Passwords.
You mean passphrases.
Right. Passphrases. Whatever needs to do to make that happen. Because there's your information out there. And you got to protect it. You don't want to wake up one day and there's no money in your bank.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It happens.
It happens. Shadow, thank you for joining us today. If people would like to speak with you, find you, what do they need to do?
For sure. You can contact, you can get at my email. That's going to be sshad0w@protonmail.com. Shadow@protonmail.com. You can email me there and just ask me any kind of questions you have on security, privacy, security, privacy, or just anything you may be interested in.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Good to know. Breaking Bread is a production of Artists for the People. Follow us on X at Breaking Bread 101. That's Break, the letter N as in November, Bread 101. Or catch us on Instagram, Breaking Bread Podcasts. Check us out on Facebook or visit our website, breakingbread.biz. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel at Breaking Bread 101. Give us a listen on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Listen Notes, or wherever you get your podcasts. Our theme music was composed by Ludwig van Beethoven. Breaking Bread was created by Terry Page. Success is when opportunity meets preparation. Until next time.